Last week, a groundbreaking ceremony took place in Jacksonville for the National Montford Point Marines Memorial. They were the first African Americans to join the United States Marine Corps, overcoming discrimination and segregation for an opportunity to serve during World War II. Today, we explore the legacy of the Montford Point Marines and hear a firsthand account of Wilmington resident Norman Preston.
I've had my good days and I've had my bad days. I don't regret a bit of it.
A World War II veteran, 92-year-old Preston is among an elite few, our nation's first black Marines. He was a private in his mid-20s when he arrived at Montford Point in Jacksonville, North Carolina, a segregated training camp for African-American Marines.
And Afro-Americans was trained and treated harder in the beginning than the average whites. Once you had an area to be in contact with white Marines, you was always kept at a distance.
Prior to 1941, African Americans were not allowed to enlist in the military. But as U.S. involvement in World War II became a possibility, there was a sudden need for jobs in the defense industry. National Monument Director of the Montford Point Marine Museum, Houston Chenal, says President Roosevelt issued a directive on June 25, 1941, that sought to put an end to discrimination in the armed forces.
The Executive Order 8802, what that did was, it was actually called the Fair Employment Practice Commission, and what it did, it barred discrimination in the hiring of government contracts because of race.
Roosevelt's executive order was the first presidential decree issued on race since Reconstruction. The directive required the armed services to begin recruiting and enlisting African Americans. In 1942, the first black Marines were sent to Camp Montford Point in Jacksonville. Chenal says they were trained separately and away from their white counterparts.
The belief was, by putting the base here in the South, that Southern whites had a better understanding of dealing with the blacks, and that they'd be more apt to manage them than by putting the base in some other place.
While white Marines were sent to traditional boot camps like Paris Island and Camp Lejeune, Montford Point was exclusively for African Americans. Chenal says many of the black Marines didn't know they were headed to a segregated training facility.
The Montford Point Marine boot camp was supposed to be an experiment, and that experiment was intended to prove that blacks could not serve as Marines. So consequently, in the effort to establish that, those Marines found themselves working harder to disprove that notion.
During the early years of Montford Point, white drill instructors were in charge of training young recruits. By 1945, all of the drill instructors at Montford Point were replaced with African-American instructors that Chenal says were tougher and pushed them harder.
In a conversation I had with Sergeant Major Huff once when he was living, he said, yes, he was harder because he understood that a black Marine had to be three times as good as a white Marine to stay in the Corps. So they actually pushed them harder than the white drill instructors did.
92-year-old Norman Preston remembers the intense training. He says his African-American drill instructor pushed him to his limits because he understood what they had to go through.
He was very strict, hard, disciplined, but he wasn't unreasonably cruel in no way. He was very compassionate, but he was a disciplined Marine. If you want to be the best, you got to be the best. You got to train hard, and that was it. That's the type of leader he was.
While at Montford Point, Preston, who was a military police officer, says railroad tracks divided white residents from the camp for African-American troops. He remembers he was forbidden to enter the main base of Camp Lejeune unless accompanied by a white Marine.
Blacks was not even allowed to Camp Lejeune on the main side, period. That's how they isolated you from the whites. I worked with the civilian police, who was all white, in downtown Jacksonville, and when you go down there, you report to them, and their philosophy is this: you are down here to protect and stay away from these Marines so they won't get contaminated with disease.
The intense training at Montford Point prepared the African-American Marines for combat, where they were often involved in support roles, such as supplying ammunition to the front lines.
We have Montford Point Marines that were actually involved in the battles on Iwo Jima, Saipan. These were places that they actually saw combat action.
Chenal says the attitude toward African American Marines on the battlefield was much different than in non-combat situations.
There were white Marines that were glad to say that the MAFA planes were there because they showed up, they filled in gaps, they did those things that ultimately caused those particular battles to be won.
Between 1942 and 1949, when Camp Montford Point was deactivated, more than 20,000 African-American Marines had been trained at the Jacksonville facility. Many of these men went on to further serve their communities.
Locally, we had MAFA Point Marines that stayed on, like Mr. Turner Blunt. Turner G. Blunt, who was a MAFA Pointer here, ultimately ended up serving on the city council. Here in Jacksonville.
In 1974, Camp Montford Point was renamed to Camp Johnson to honor Sergeant Major Gilbert Hashmark Johnson, who was one of the first African Americans to enlist and serve as a drill instructor in the Marine Corps. Now, Camp Johnson is home to the National Montford Point Museum.
We have in our possession a World War II 9mm anti-aircraft gun. This is the primary weapon that the 51st and 52nd Defense Battalions, which was the two battalions that were formed for the Black Marines, that they trained on that weapon.
Currently, the 9mm anti-aircraft gun is on display at the museum, but will be relocated to the Montford Point Memorial that's being constructed at Camp Johnson's front gate. The memorial will be built at Lejeune Memorial Gardens on NC-24. A centerpiece of the memorial will be the large statue by artist and sculptor Stan Watts, who created the 40-foot-tall bronze monument named To Lift a Nation, honoring those who died during the terrorist attacks on September 11th.
The statue is a larger-than-life size replica representing a MAFA Point Marine. He's depicted on a steep incline, which is supposed to symbolize the struggle of the MAFA Point Marines as they moved into the regular Marine Corps. We have him picking up a rifle out of the mud, which signifies when the MAFA Point Marines went from being basically ammo carriers and stretcher bearers to actually fighters in the war.
The project became active in 2009, and the memorial is being paid for by donations. Chenal says phase one of the project is estimated at $681,000 and will be completed in August. Phase two comes in at just over $1 million and includes the placement of memorial stones.
These are 4x8 bricks. We sold engraved bricks where people could purchase a brick to help build a memorial, and you could have your name put on it or inscriptions to MAFA pointers or whatever you choose. In phase one, the entire surface will be concrete. In phase two, we're actually going to go back and lay the bricks on top of the concrete.
Chenal says an additional $900,000 still needs to be raised before initiating phase two.
We can hopefully roll right into phase two once we complete phase one. And if that occurs, the entire project would be done by August of 2016.
While the monument is just starting its long journey to completion, the National Montford Point Museum is open to the public. It's located on the east wing of building M101 aboard Marine Corps Base Camp Johnson. Hours are 11 to 2 and 4 to 7 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Saturday from 11 to 4 p.m.